Thanks, Jared.
Good morning, everybody. Again, in Brother Bill's absence, you guys have the pleasure, or the displeasure, I guess, of having to listen to me again. I hope that that what I bring to you this morning will be helpful for all of us. And this lesson this morning is probably as much or more for me than it is for you. And the title of my story is Change and the Christian Response. I will be 50 years old in just a few short months. And for some of you, you look back longingly for 50. And for others of you, you can't imagine being that old. And it wasn't so long ago that I couldn't imagine being that old. But in what I consider to be a very short 50 years, things have changed. The world that we live in, the America that we live in, our society has changed. And some of those changes for the good, some of them for the bad. Some of our changes are like over science fiction that are now science fact. When I was Anastasia's age, I would have never imagined having the world in the palm of my hand, having more computing power in my hand than in the 1970s was contained in entire rooms of computers. Having the ability to take pictures with a phone that are better quality than $1,000 cameras were taking 5 years ago. Those are good changes. So technology has changed vastly. Medicine has changed. More and more people are being saved through medical advances and advances in medical technology today than were even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And those are good changes. These positive changes bring to, and not starting to, we are seeing a lot of negative changes too. And our society, our country, we're moving farther and farther away from God, and it scares me. You get the history of our country, and you go back to even the founders. When they were writing the documents that created our nation, God, I knew that keeping God as a center point, country was important. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. There it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And if you look through the historical record that we see in the Bible, this statement has been proven over and over and over again. When a nation is righteous, it abounds. It has the favor of God. But when its people begin to move away and turn from righteousness, then they begin to lose favor with God. I would propose to you that in the last 50 years, our nation has been turning farther and farther away from God. See this every day in those that outright and openly oppose God and oppose things that are good and things that are righteous. Look at you look court system. That at one time, you know, we saw as illegal, they would put you in jail for. Now they're letting people walk for. They're not being punished for these things anymore. You look at our media that they report on. They tell us are right or wrong. Even things that man has said are godly, right? We know Christmas is a man-made invention, right? But it's even gotten to the point where saying Merry Christmas is wrong, right? It's Happy Holidays because you don't want to offend anybody. Because they want to move so far away from God and Christ, man-made things that they think are Christ-like or godly, they're moving away from. Get out of here. They want to remove things like the Ten Commandments. And we know that as Christians, we're no longer under the old law, right? The Ten Commandments are not our, what we turn to as our command for living a Christ-like life, right? Because we have a new law. However, the laws that are on the books today can trace their lineage back to those Ten Commandments. Things like, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, right? We look at our laws today and we have laws that say we're not allowed to murder, we're not allowed to steal. And in some courtrooms, even on some buildings, in our capital, the Ten Commandments are present as a reminder of where our laws come from, right? Where our laws had their beginning. And people are fighting to take those down. Why? Because they have some tie to God, some tie to being godly. And we don't want that. Or not we. They don't want that. They don't want a reminder to be godly. They don't want a reminder that there are good and bad. As a society, we're moving farther and farther away from God. The changes happening in our society in regards to immoral behavior. For instance, In my lifetime, abortion was made legal. The latest statistics I saw, roughly 4,500 babies a day are murdered in this country. 4,500 babies a day are murdered in this country, roughly. It's legal. It's okay. That's something that's changed in the last 50 years. And even the standard for when it's okay to murder a baby has changed. This is, you can murder a baby all the way up to the point of birth now. Okay. Because it's legal. It teaches us differently. Teaches us that God formed us in the womb and that He knows us in the womb. Both David and Jeremiah state this in Psalms 139, 13 through 16, and then Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. David also says in Psalms 22 and verse 10, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. The old law, God had a law for the unborn child and the mother. In Exodus 21, beginning at verse 22, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him. And he shall pay as the judge determines. But if harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Here's what this verse is saying. If the woman and her child, after being attacked by a man, don't suffer any harm, there's no permanent physical damage, they're still alive, everything's okay, that man's still going to be punished by whatever the husband determines to be punished, and whatever fine the judge says, he has to pay. Harm falls to the woman or the child, his life shall be forfeit for a life. No doubt that the scripture shows us that an unborn child is a human being, and to abort that child is murder. A life, life. The reason why our society is going downhill so quickly is because they hold no moral value. God's word. The system is based on their own lack of, or their own thinking, or lack thereof. Ideas of what's right and wrong. When we have in the scriptures, in God's word, everything we need to know about what's right and wrong. Very far in our society, our communities, to see just the degradation and the demise of what was once good is happening. Not a good change. The change is happening, and why it's happening so quickly is because it's being spurred along by media, by entertainment. People look to entertainment personalities or media personalities as their guide in life. If so-and-so is doing it, it must be okay. If channel XYZ News says this is how we should be living, then it must be okay. If this morning show or that morning show or this talk show or that talk show tells me this is what I need to be doing, then it must be okay. Another thing that we have a problem with in our country is idolatry. I don't mean bowing down and worshiping, graven images. It's the almighty dollar. Bow down at the altar of the dollar bill more than they do at the altar of God. Consumed with money. It is their breath. It is their sustenance. It is their everything. It is their being. Money. Proverbs 28 and verse 22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. Those who find their happiness in riches and things, possessions, that is where your heart lies. God has stuff. The most important thing for you when you get up in the morning is making that next dollar. How am I going to make more? God. See this in not just the It's not wrong to go to work. We're commanded. We're supposed to work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. To provide for our families. We're to help the poor. Important. Those things are part of our Christian life. That money becomes all important. It has become such a pervasive evil in our country. It used to be that you might have the backroom poker game going on, or people would travel to Vegas or Atlantic City to go gamble. But now you do it online, you do it from your phone, you get out of the gas station and buy your lottery tickets. And when that becomes your sole purpose, is spending all of your time trying to make that next jackpot, trying to win that next hand, put God aside. God. Your God is money. Matthew 6 and verse 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think another area that we're becoming morally bankrupt in, and we're seeing a big change in, is in sexuality. Take things that are sinful and rename them, right? We don't like to call sin sin. And when I say we, I'm not talking about us Christians here in this room. I'm talking about we as a culture, as a society. We don't like to call sin sin anymore. It makes people feel bad. Fornication anymore. They got other words for it, right? They're just out hooking up. They're just out messing around. So much nicer than fornicating, adultery, monetized sin. Not sound so bad. We were watching a show the other night. And, somebody came out on the show and, the person they were talking to was like, it's okay, we know that there's more than just man and or male and female. But there's not. He made them male and female. Male and female, he made them. Genders. Male and female. We don't make people feel bad as a society, so we make other names, other words that don't sound so bad. Changes that are happening. Changing. A lot of ways not for the better. Be able to call sin, sin. Reality is a sin. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's a sin. Fornication and adultery. We're hearing now that pedophilia lifestyle, not a sin, not a disgusting, perverted, act on children. It's an alternative lifestyle. No, it's not. Anybody that would say any different is horrible and a sinner. Take what God has made sin and make it okay. We know that the Bible very plainly condemns homosexuality, right? In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That being said, I want you to listen to that entire list. Yes, we're talking about homosexuality, but listen to the whole list. It's not just homosexuals. Thieves, nor idolaters, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. There's a lot of people on that list. And there are other lists, right? There are other lists in the New Testament that include things like liars. We know that hell is prepared for all liars. But we know in 1 Corinthians 6, it specifically says homosexuality. It is a sin. He wants to redefine that as an alternative lifestyle. There are so many changes going on in our society that we just happen. We talk about and hear about the silent majority. And I would say it's us. We're the silent majority. I would venture to guess that most people say that these things are wrong, that these things are sinful. We do. We sit more quiet. And we let the minority of people change the way our society looks at things. The rest of us into feeling that way, not speaking up, right? Because we don't want to be that person. We don't want to cause any trouble. So the silent majority. Just stand up and say, it's wrong. Nation is really pushing us to change the way we look at things and redefine what is moral, what is immoral. Thinking has also caused that major change within the church. Romans 3 and verse 17, the scripture tells us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In John 4 and 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we look at the scriptures, to see that we're to worship God in spirit, which means with our hearts, we're to worship Him in truth, and then anything more or less wouldn't be pleasing. At religious institutions all over, to be Christian, I hate the way that word is thrown around. Right? That word has been adopted and perverted a lot of different sects. To be Christian and worship Him the way they want. It makes them feel good that we're commanded to worship. To worship God in spirit and in truth. People of worship includes singing and making melody in our hearts. It includes prayer. It includes partaking of the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. It includes delving into the Word of God. People that come to worship and sometimes do none of those things. Or call it worship. Take those things and they pervert those things and call it worship. And the scripture, does it tell us to have a rock band for Jesus? Scripture, does it say the Lord's Supper is optional, or because of time constraints, you can only do it once a quarter, or only on special dates, you know, like December 25th, or, you know, the week after Passover. There are institutions out there that consider themselves to be Christian that are doing just those things. Changes, plan, go along with it. Our huge congregations of people that come together, I think they're doing the right thing. That they are coming together and worshiping God the right way. But they're being led astray. It's sad, and it's scary at the same time. Because how many of those people do we know? Said anything to? Before, one of the things that scares me the most is the day of judgment when somebody says, why didn't you tell me? The song that talks about you never mentioned him to me. When we sit back and allow change without speaking up. We are all ministers of the word. That's the evangelist's job at a local congregation to minister. All of our responsibility. And take notice of what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the word of faith and of good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And then in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Somebody who claims to be a preacher of the word fails to preach the truth, door for more and more change to take place. Why we see more and more kinds moving away from the truth. Congregations of the Lord's body. You know, stories about when she was a child going to visit, I think where her aunt and uncle or her grandmother went, and their Bible study was like, they didn't study the Bible. They studied like investing or something. Or it was social time. Who's bringing the donuts today? You know, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. I remember nobody else was on, so it started playing music. I turned it off, or just turned it down. As a child, walking to a congregation that was nearby. And it wasn't the normal congregation we went to. Mom wasn't feeling well. Dad was at work. And it was the closest congregation to us. And Mom said that we could walk. So we walked down there. And We walked in and knew right away that it wasn't like where we were supposed to be, right? They had the Christmas tree up and they had, you know, presents out. And we walked in and I told my cousin that was with me, I said, I don't think we're supposed to be here. We turn around and walk back home. And my mom's like, what's going on? I'm like, Mom, they're having a Christmas play. And it was a Church of Christ. Big Church of Christ sign on the outside. They're changing wants for what they wanted, what man wants. We've got to make sure that we don't allow change like that to happen. We've got to be willing to stand up and stop it before it happens. We've got to be willing to talk to our neighbors and our friends. Members, the changes that have taken place and how some have strayed from what God wants. We call sin a sin. Timothy 1 and verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. 5 and 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And in 2 John 1 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Do these verses sound like we're supposed to tolerate sin? What the world wants us to do. That's what the world tells us we have to do. Tolerate sin. Years ago, I started, I don't know why, getting these things at school on teaching tolerance. About teaching tolerance when it comes to alternative lifestyles. Teaching tolerance when it comes to other religions. Tolerance when it comes to sin. Wanting us to teach this stuff to children in schools. It tells us that if we tolerate sin, share in those evil deeds. Tolerance of sin. And I'm going to stop here. And if you want to hear the rest of this lesson, come tonight. Finish this lesson tonight. But we don't want to end a lesson without offering an invitation. And that invitation is for all of us. If you are not a Christian, there is no better time than now. God has promised us, if we put on Christ, have our sins washed away through baptism, Christian, with Him, then we have the hope of eternity in heaven. If we decide our sinful ways, do what we're supposed to do, grace and His mercy will cover our sins, and we can live with Him forever and eternity. We have to have our sins washed away through baptism. And there is no better time than now because we are not promised a tomorrow. If you aren't a Christian, why wait? If you are a Christian and you haven't been living your life the way that you should, if you have things that you need to ask for prayers for, that's why God gives us congregations like this. Guys, this just isn't a congregation that we come together on one day a week. This is a family. This is your brothers and sisters that are supposed to lift you up and help one another. And that's why we're here. So if you're baptized this morning or you need the prayers of the congregation, come forward as we stand and sing 501.